Hi, everybody, and welcome to FNS Wrestling Podcast, another bonus episode. I'm going to talk some ROH on another solo mission, so sorry if you're here to hear Jack. He will not be here today, but he'll be back on the Saturday show to talk about Dynamite, NXT, Impact, a match of his choosing to sort of revisit, among other things. So feel free, join us on Saturday as well. Just thought we'd fire out something midweek because I have a bit of time, and I'm also experimenting with using Audacity and a Windows computer for the first time to record this. So hopefully it sounds okay. This is definitely an experiment. I've never used it before. Good old YouTube taught me a few things, and we'll see how it goes. So that being said, let's get into this week's Ring of Honor show. So Quinn welcomes us to the show and lets us know right away what the two matches coming up tonight will be. There will be a four-way in the main event between EC3, Matt Taven, Jay Lethal, and Jay Briscoe for the number one contendership for the ROH Championship. We then get a recap of the main event from last week where Kenny King took Shane Taylor out with a chair after acting like he was going to hit Roosh and sort of teasing early on in the program that he was possibly having issues with LFI, the faction, and maybe thinking about turning babyface. Frankly, it confused me a little bit, but anyways, they do recap that. King speaks then, gets a chance to sort of explain himself, and he wonders why anyone thought he would betray his family. He was just giving one final lesson to Shane Taylor on not trusting anybody, and then he introduces Roosh. Roosh says he'll be the champion for a long time, and it doesn't matter who you put against him. LFI is the past, present, and future, and nothing happens in ROH unless Roosh says so. So I'm fairly confused by Kenny King's actions last week then. If he was never going to turn on LFI, what was the point of acting like he would? Because to me, he was doing that in environments where Shane Taylor wasn't going to see it, right? This was backstage, in theory, in LFI's locker room, where he's going out of his way to act like sort of telling Roosh you can beat Shane Taylor without using any shenanigans, any weapons. It should just be a straight up match. So I'm not sure who that was for, because I don't think Shane Taylor's seeing that. So it doesn't, there's a bit of a disconnect here with him teasing sort of a babyface turn that never happened. And I don't know. Anyways, how did this teach Shane Taylor anything? Did he really think that from these couple segments that he probably didn't even see that Kenny King was going to help him? It really wasn't thought through. I don't think it didn't make any sense to me, unless I'm missing something and someone wants to explain it to me. That'd be great. Add to that the fact that I found King having doubts about his group and their actions kind of interesting, right? Like, before I realized that it wasn't going anywhere, I was kind of into it. This idea that you have one member of this like super heel faction who's now sort of questioning the way they do things. And just to add another layer of complication, he just won the tag team titles with another member of that group. So I thought that created kind of a cool little dynamic where he's kind of now speaking out against the group, but he's also won a championship, which is obviously important. But as interested as I was in that, they made that all go away by Kenny King apparently just pretending to turn babyface. Again, I don't understand what it was doing. I was actually excited for a bit of a character change for Kenny King because he's been the same for a very long time, in my opinion, but they decided not to do it. So we'll see what develops from that, I guess. Quinn then gives us the current Pure Division rankings, which is Josh Woods, Dak Draper, Rhett Titus, Wheeler Yuta, and Fred Yehi are your top five. And tonight's opener, then, she tells us, will be a rematch between Josh Woods and Dalton Castle that was requested by Dalton Castle. So I'm not exactly excited about this match. I'm not the biggest Josh Woods fan. I understand that he is amazing, and for certain people that enjoy that style, he is probably very fun to watch. For me, it's kind of hit and miss with him. Dalton Castle I really like, but we also know that he's on his way out of this promotion, I think. His contract's up, and I don't think he's re-signed. So I thought that was coming into this match sort of telling me what was going to happen, right? Because he basically... Well, I'll get to his promo, I guess, in a minute. Because first it was Josh Woods' turn to speak, and he saw no reason to accept Castle's request for a rematch. He's been beating former ROH champions, and he'll do it again. He says his win against Castle wasn't a fluke, and he can do that again as well. He says he brings a different skill set and he can submit any opponent from any position. And he knows that Dalton has a back issue, and Woods was respectful of that last time and didn't attack it. So he's basically saying, I beat you without even going after your weakened back. He says no one is ever 100% and it can't be used by an excuse, so that Dalton can't just say, you know, he has a bad back, because nobody's wrestling at 100%. He wants to face Gresham after this and become the next pure champion. I thought this promo was fine. It was nothing spectacular. It was pretty much a standard Josh Woods promo, I guess. So yeah, it was acceptable. Nothing exciting, but it was fine. Then Dalton Castle gets his turn, because they're kind of back to their old style of, here's what the matches are. Here's a promo from each guy. Here's the match. So they got away from that. I think it was last week, just for a change of pace. And that's not a bad thing. I don't mind either way. I don't have a problem with the way they structure their show normally, but I also don't mind if they feel they should change it up from the odd week here and there, just for something different. So Castle gets his turn to speak and says that Woods found a minor hole in his offense and beat him last time. He is nowhere to be found on the leaderboards, and that's a problem, right? He feels that he's sort of being disrespected at this point as a former champion. He feels that he's better than Josh Woods and all of the people on these lists. His results, he admits, haven't been where they should be, and that's why he wants a rematch with Woods to sort of correct this and show that he can. He has now studied Josh Woods and will close the hole that he left open last time. So he admits there was something lacking in his strategy last time, that Woods took advantage of that, and that won't be an issue this time. He is sick of failing. He won't keep losing. He knows he's great and a better pro wrestler than Woods. If he can't beat Woods this time, he says he's out. So I mean, if you listen to this show, you know that I enjoy Dalton Castle. I like his promos. I like his sort of quirky nature. He's very different, a little bit odd, but I find that somewhat endearing. I quite enjoy it. He's sort of adding large stakes to this match, right? Basically saying that if he doesn't win, he's done. So I thought that was sort of telegraphing him losing, because as I said, it's kind of common knowledge, I think, that his contract is up, and I don't think he's re-signed with ROH, so I thought this was basically their way of writing him off the show, but I guess we'll have to find out by actually watching the match. So let's talk about that, because it's next. So it is Josh Woods versus Dalton Castle, their rematch from whenever it was, weeks ago, a month ago, something like that. So Dalton is talking to Woods to start the match about starting out slow, and that Woods deserves some time with Castle, sort of saying, like, you know, the only way to kind of drag this match out is to just start out slow, because if it starts out fast, I'm going to beat you really quickly, kind of idea, I guess. They start on their feet with lots of holds and counters. Then they hit the mat and grapple, with Woods getting a double wrist lock. Woods applies the gorilla lock, as he's now calling it. That's going to be, I think, one of his signature moves. And Castle has to use a rope break to escape. They end up outside, and Castle sends Wood over the barricade. They're back in the ring now after a commercial break, with Woods hitting a running attack to Castle in the corner before hitting a butterfly suplex. We get another gorilla lock and another rope break used by Castle. There's a slap exchange now, and that ends up taking Dalton Castle down. Castle starts selling his back and asking for a minute. So he's basically, because Josh Woods, as he mentioned, right, did not attack that back in their last match. So Woods is sort of begging off for a minute. Sorry, not Woods. Castle sort of begging off for a minute, sort of asking for a second, and sort of grabbing his back, acting like he's in major pain. So Woods does hesitate here for a minute, and then Castle hits an inside cradle off of that for the win. So a couple things. I was surprised that he won, obviously. Clearly, I thought he was going to lose because he's on his way out of the company, but I guess not, and it's nice to be surprised sometimes. So the match overall was fine, but it wasn't anything special. It's really just a way for Castle to sneak a win to sort of save his career as it stands in ROH right now. And it was to get the confrontation that followed the match, I guess, which was basically when Silas Young comes out. So he and Josh Woods have been affiliated in the past in sort of like a, I guess, a mentor-mentee protege relationship, where Silas Young is the professional wrestler sort of helping Josh Woods, the amateur wrestler, to learn the ropes, no pun intended, of professional wrestling. So Woods wants to know where Silas Young has been, because he hasn't been around lately. Young says that last time they were together, Woods said he was doing well on his own, but then he lost to Gresham. That kind of makes sense. Woods then had an opportunity to win the number one contendership for the ROH title and couldn't win that. Also a decent point by Silas Young. And now he looks foolish losing to Dalton Castle. Agreed. So Woods may be a technical beast, but he has a lot to learn about professional wrestling. He says the way to fix it is to become a team again with Silas. and he drops the mic and walks out without even getting a response from Woods. So I kind of liked Silas Young's promo here. He did make sense, as I kind of pointed out, right? The idea that Woods is an amateur wrestling machine, but that he still needs some work and has to learn some things when it comes to professional wrestling is kind of interesting to me. Sets up a storyline, somewhere for Woods to go, somewhere for Silas Young to go. So I thought that promo made sense, and I kind of liked it, and we'll see where it goes from there. The main event is next right away. Obviously, it's this very short program. It's just an hour. And each participant gets a promo video that plays as they sort of make their entrance. So again, a slightly different style for ROH. Instead of the sit-down interview for each guy before, it's more of a quick promo playing as they make their entrance to the ring. So EC3, basically, he's still doing the honor thing that I'm so annoyed with right now. If you listen to this podcast, you know it's not that I don't like EC3, but the character and the promos he's cutting right now I find are absolutely ridiculous and nonsensical, and he's trying too hard, and he feels like the kid that's trying to meet the word count on an essay that he's way under, as well as consulting a thesaurus liberally for every one of his promos. He's nowhere near as cool as he thinks he is. I think he needs to just keep it simple. He's trying way too hard at this point. I actually thought about transcribing the promo word for word, just so people could hear, if you don't watch the show, if you're relying on me to sort of fill you in on it. And maybe some people like this. I don't really know, because it's really hard to find anyone talking about ROH, which is why I don't mind doing it, at least for free. I'm not going behind paywalls and joining people's Patreons and things to hear them talk about ROH. So I don't really know what other people think, but I can't stand this incarnation of EC3. It drives me crazy. And it's sort of compounded by the fact that I do think he's good. I do think he has talent. I do think ROH is a good place for him. I just don't think that what they're doing with him now is what they should be doing. But anyways, Lethal then gets a short video during his entrance where he talks about this opportunity he's getting and the foundation being on a course to restore honor. And they want to be champions of every division so that they can purify the whole company. The company will change and wrestlers will prevail. It's his and the company's destiny for him to win. So this idea that the foundation aren't happy with just sort of dominating the pure division, they want to expand into every other division and, I don't know, get their honor back in this company. I guess it's a fine angle, but I'm not sure how it's going to go. We'll have to see. So then Taven, as we know, is not one of my favorites either. I just have trouble finding he or Mike Bennett, his sort of partner in crime, as baby faces. I just don't think they're very likable characters. So I don't know why they expect people to cheer for them. But anyways, Taven's been distracted for the past 6 months by Vincent and the Righteous. There's sort of some giant blood feud going on there that I'm not sort of bought into. But now he can focus, since Vincent is too much of a coward to fight him. He has a rematch in his pocket already, but he can also use this match to get yet another opportunity. So he's sort of trying to stockpile opportunities at the ROH Championship, which I guess makes sense, but if you're a supremely confident guy as Taven is, you would think he would only need one. I wouldn't think you'd need to stockpile them if you're so sure that you're going to win when you get the chance anyways, but it was fine. So Briscoe says he's in the right place at the right time and he'll do what he needs to do to win. No offense to the other three. And then he does actually say maybe EC3. He doesn't mind offending him, but the people want him versus Roosh, and he plans to give the people what they want. So these were all fairly brief. None of them were bad. None of them were extraordinary either. Just a little bit of a promo before the match starts. And that is what is next, the number one contenders match. We do have Jay Briscoe versus EC3 versus Matt Taven versus Lethal. And at this point, they let us know that it's Lucha Rules and also one fall to a finish. So basically, if one of the wrestlers leaves the ring, then another wrestler can just hop in and be legal. That's essentially what they mean by Lucha Rules. If someone ends up out on the floor, the next person in is the legal man. So that is what they're working with here. Maria joins us on commentary. I don't think she adds very much, to be honest. Like, she's very well spoken. She's confident. But in terms of like adding anything to the matches and things, I don't think she is. But she's there trying to add to the EC3 story, saying that this year has broken him and he was not like this when they were together at Impact. So that this is some sort of changed and broken and dark EC3. Again, I just don't care. Sorry, EC3. It's bad. It almost makes me cringe every time he speaks, to be honest. It has, I think, basically the exact opposite effect of what he's going for is pretty much how I feel about him. So Briscoe and EC3 hate each other. So they fight outside the ring while Taven and Lethal sort of start out inside the ring. Everybody ends up outside at one point, and Briscoe runs over Lethal and Taven with clothesline. Taven dives onto Lethal and EC3 on the out is on the out. Oh, sorry, he dives onto Lethal and EC3 on the outside at one point. Taven hits a move to Briscoe, but EC3 throws Taven out and takes control of Briscoe with a Thez press and a headbutt. So again, sort of taking advantage of those lucha rules. All four men in the ring now with strikes and kicks, and all of them are down briefly. Lethal and Briscoe are sort of having an argument over who gets to superplex Taven. So they decide to work together, and EC3 shows up to make it a Tower of Doom. Obviously, as they're sort of having this discussion on the ropes, EC3 sneaks in, and we get the classic multi-man Tower of Doom from the corner spot. EC3 is the first one up from this, and the announce team try to put him over as scary, which I'm not buying, sorry. EC3 orders Lethal to kick Briscoe in the face, but he attacks EC3 instead. Figure four by Lethal to Briscoe. EC3 powerbombs Taven onto Lethal to break the hold. That was kind of cool, actually. Briscoe runs to the back and EC3 chases him. We see a mystery woman now standing at ringside. We just see her from the back first, but they quickly reveal that it's Vita Von Starr, who is part of the Righteous. She's down there now, obviously to do something to Taven, I guess. Taven hits some quick offense to Lethal, but is obviously distracted by Vita. As we know, wrestlers are distracted by any little thing at ringside, or even like music of somebody else, or sound effects, or someone standing there. Just, they're not very focused people, these professional wrestlers. You think they would figure it out to just be more focused on what's going on in the ring, but he's not. So we get a big knee by Taven for two. More distractions by Vita as Lethal hits a cutter. Lethal injects into Taven for the win. Frankly, I didn't love this match either. It was kind of four guys thrown into a match with no build, right? Like, their idea is, a story is, it's for the number one contender, that's all we need. I don't see any of these four being viable contenders at this point, because they haven't really, in my opinion, been built as viable contenders to Rouge. It did further, I guess, the plus side, the Taven Righteous storyline, along with the EC3 Briscoe storyline, but those aren't things that I'm super interested in anyways. But I guess at least they're trying to deal with them, which is somewhat respectable. I didn't care much about this match. I'm trying to find some positives in it because I do want to like this show, and there are weeks where I really do like it, but I just thought this was kind of lackluster. This was four decent wrestlers, veterans in the ring, having an okay match for a number one contendership, advancing a couple storylines. That's about it. And this was the main event, and I thought it was somewhat underwhelming. So overall, I think you can tell I was not a huge fan of this show. It just kind of seemed like it was thrown together and was just kind of there. The promos weren't as strong as many shows. There's been many weeks where I'm just like, there's at least one or two promos that I recommend people go see, especially when it was right after the reboot, because they really were acting like people had never seen the show and needed sort of to be caught up on each character. So I really enjoyed those promos. They were letting people just sort of talk naturally, it felt like, and maybe even their backstory was actually their true backstory. So just learning about a lot of the characters I didn't know very well or at all was pretty cool. So these promos weren't as strong as some of the other shows that they've had for sure. But the attention was not really given to many of them, right? The four-way guys just got a few seconds as they entered. It wasn't the usual sit down with the camera and an interview sort of a few minutes. It was just quick hitters on the way to the ring. The Woods Castle match was nothing special either. But again, I guess it advances Castle's story, as he's now willing to take shortcuts to win to save his career, which I think is a little bit of a development for him. Sort of faking the back injury and then sneaking a roll-up victory is sort of a new level for him, I think, at this point. I don't know. The main event was nothing special either. It kind of sets up a lame duck challenger for me. Like, I don't believe Lethal is going to win at this point. But again, it furthered stories with EC3 and Briscoe and Taven Bennett versus the Righteous, I guess, is the bottom line. Storylines were pushed along. If you're interested in those storylines, great. I'm not in a couple of them, at least. So there was nothing special to go out of your way to see on this show, I wouldn't say. We do give letter grades on this if you've never heard us before. And for me, this was a C show, right? Like, basically, I don't recommend anyone go out and see any of it. Usually in a B show, there's one or two things I would say, yeah, this is worth checking out. On a C show, that's pretty much me saying there's nothing here you really need to see. Listening to me cover this for the few minutes that I'm covering it now is probably all you need, which is too bad, because I have liked this product in general since they've come back from hiatus. I just think that they started off strong, maybe had whatever, a couple months of strong programming ready to go, and then now it seems like it's slipping a little bit, but who knows? I'll be back next week to see if it gets any better, and I'm always hopeful it is. I don't like to be negative about wrestling, but I am honest, right? So if I didn't enjoy it, I'll just tell you. And again, it's just my opinion. There may be people out there that loved it and will tell you, and it was an amazing show. I haven't heard any or seen any, but there's also very little coverage of ROH out there, which is why I'm hoping people listen to this. So yeah, a C show. I'm hoping for better next week, but the card doesn't look super strong. I forget what it was off the top of my head, but they did mention it, and I just made a note that I didn't think it looked great, but we can always hope for better. Well, that's about it. It's a 50-minute show, Ring of Honor, and I'm covering it. Doesn't take very long. So hopefully you enjoyed that quick review, and if you have any comments or feedback, that would be great. As always, you can contact us at fnswrestling@gmail.com. Those emails will come to me. We actually got a bit of feedback this week. I'll talk about on the main show finally, after months of begging for some feedback from people. Maybe it's starting to roll in. You can also contact us on Instagram at fns_wrestling_podcast on Instagram. That one goes to Jackson, my teenage son that normally co-hosts our Saturday flagship show. And I would like to take the time to say, please join us for that show on Saturday. It's usually published on Saturday late afternoon, right around dinner time probably for everybody, for most people. So hopefully you can check that out and subscribe, like, follow, whatever you need to do to let us know that you like the show. We really appreciate any listens we get. And I think that's going to wrap it up for me. So I hope to see you all back here on Saturday for the flagship show with Jack in tow. He'll be there with me as always. So until then, I hope you enjoy your week, and we'll see you on Saturday. Take care, everybody.